The next voice you gonna hear, I sound like a Baptist minister. The next voice you gonna hear is from the A and B selection of Alexandria, Louisiana, whatever. No, this dude is great. I just worked on him on a documentary, comedy documentary we're working on climate change in Virginia with the rising sea levels and all of that. And he's a writer for Kevin James' new show. And you've seen him on Late Night with Stephen Colbert. Can y'all start clapping right now? Start clapping right now for my boy, Yodoye Travis.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. What's going on? I was a little bit late. I was supposed to open the show, and now I'm here. How we doing? Okay, we're using words now. Okay, I guess the show is fine. What's going on? I write for a TV show. That's fun. It's weird. Kevin James has never had a black writer on any of his shows. Now the one about NASCAR, he thought it was time. So that's the energy I'm coming with. It's very weird. Write for a show about cars. It's weird writing for a TV show because you're just thinking about the same thing all day. And I've never thought about NASCAR my whole life, and now I got to do it every day. I don't know what to do with that, man. I got all these extra thoughts I don't know what to do with, man. Since October, I've been thinking about how Kurt Cobain never saw Lion King. I don't know what to do with that information. Like, who do I tell? You know? He died in April of 1994. A movie came out in June of the same year. He missed it by this much, you know? I don't know. Maybe he got a screener. He had an advanced copy or something. He's very famous. He just didn't get the theater experience is all I'm saying. You know? Yeah, that was a sad joke to start with. Okay, mostly because another Lion King just came out that he definitely did not see, and that one's got Beyonce in it, man. This dude lived a sad life. Well, I don't know, man. I've been trying to rework my life a little bit so I don't think of sad jokes like that so much. Because last year was a very weird year. A lot of weird shit happened, bro. I found out my ex started dating somebody new, and then I found out he got murdered. And I don't have that many jokes about that. I just feel like I can't be the only one with that energy on me in this show. I can't live with that by myself, you know? If I gotta know that, y'all gotta know that. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to say, you know? And it sucks because, you know, it means we're definitely not getting back together ever, you know? What, I'm gonna compete with a ghost? No, fuck it. What the fuck you mean? No. A living person is easy to compete with. They set very attainable goals. It's like, oh, he's got a bed frame. I can get a bed frame. Fuck you. What the fuck are you talking about? You know? But a dead person, it's like you just compete with their potential, all the shit they could have done. Even if they're trash, it's like, you know, he was this close to getting that bed frame he always wanted. Shit. Ah. Now I feel bad for having shit I'm supposed to have. You know? I don't know what to do. So I've been trying to, like, just improve my life, stop thinking all this negativity. I've been trying to cut all this negativity out of my life. I started going to therapy, you know? Okay, so no, stop. I downloaded a therapy app. Do it on my phone. It kind of worked. It doesn't work. No. See, because I got the app, and then the dude I got matched with, every time I send him a text message, he sends me a voice message back. So it turns out I don't need therapy that bad. I don't need it. No. And the first thing you learn in therapy is to cut negative people out of your life. And sometimes it is the therapist, you know? You know? Who needs therapy bad enough to listen to a voicemail? Fuck that. No. I do not need it. I'm just trying to do this shit on my own. You know, I'm doing mushrooms. You know? Very good for depression. Very good for that type of stuff. But no, I've been trying. It's weird. Like, when you try to improve your life, people won't let you do it, you know? People won't just let you be happy. You ever had that experience? You ever just, like, try to stop drinking or stop smoking or whatever? People won't let you do it. I remember a couple months ago, I was having, like, a really good day. I was just trying to enjoy the rest of my day. I made it to, like, 11 p.m., and the day had been great the whole day. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have a nightcap. I'm going to just round this day off strong, have a sandwich, go to bed. I go to the bodega down the street from my apartment. I walk in. I'm just like, hey, bro, let me get a sausage, egg, and cheese. For no reason, this dude looks me in my face, and he goes, okay, same as yesterday? Like, why? Why do you have to add that energy to it, bro? What? I was having a good day. Now I got to think about being here twice? Bro, fuck you. That's not even a creative order. A sausage, egg, and cheese is a regular sandwich. Now you question my creativity, bro. I work in a creative field. This is all I have. Why do you have to do this to me? You know? Like, why is that human nature to just undercut people's happiness like that? Like, you ever been in a bad mood and you just see kids happy? Like, why is our first response just, shut up, fuck, shut up, stop. You see I paid rent this year? Shut the fuck up. Give me the Legos. Give me the Legos. Give me the Legos. I want the Legos. I'm trying to build a better tomorrow for myself. Stop. Fuck out of my face. I want the Legos. It's weird, man. Just be happy. I'm just trying to do what... I'm just trying to, like, cut negativity out of my life because, like... I don't know. I was depressed and shit last year. I wasn't, like, suicidal or anything, but I did stop using airplane mode entirely, and I fly a lot, if that gives you an idea of what I was doing. So I'm just trying to be positive. I'm trying to stop being so skeptical. I realize I squint a lot. I'm just always like, well, you know, just stop squinting. You know, I'm just trying to be gullible in 2020. Just believe what the fuck ever. You know, like maybe these hoes are loyal. Who knows? We've been led to believe this one thing, but maybe we're all wrong. You know. Just one time I want one of my white friends to say they don't see color, and I'm like, hell yeah, you don't. Let's go to the suburbs and just walk around. Let's do that shit. But, you know, just trying to believe whatever. Stop being so skeptical. People so quick to, like, undercut your happiness, tell you what's fake. Everybody wants to tell you wrestling is fake. Who cares? You start a fight then. Go start a fight. That shit is hard. You know? They're still athletes. They're good at their job. This shit is entertaining. People want to tell you magic is fake. Like, magic would not be impressive if it was real. That's just a nigga with powers then. Like, the fuck you want? Man learned a skill, and now he's trying to impress you with a deck of cards and nothing else and just some hope. Like, fuck out of here, man. What, you gonna watch Harry Potter do a magic show? Like, look, if I'm in a jam and I need some magic done, yeah, I'll call Harry Potter. But if I want to be entertained, no. No, he has no showmanship, you know? That's like going to a comedy show to see some dude from Harvard Lampoon. Like, yeah, all the beats are there, but his heart's not in it. You know what I'm saying? Just come on. Shit is weird. All right, this is a weird transition, and it has nothing to do with any of my set before this. But I still listen to R. Kelly. Y'all do that? okay, stop. Let me explain. Boo, yeah. Let me explain. I started listening after the documentary came out. Okay, because I found out that nigga can't read and he signed his publishing away, so he actually loses money on streaming. That shit is hilarious to me. He only makes money on live shows. I just don't go to his live shows. Fuck, I'm doing at his live shows. I don't want to hang out with people that still listen to R. Kelly. Fuck that. You know? I feel bad for him because I realize how differently it could have gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude spent so much time hanging outside of high schools and still never learned how to read. How is that possible? Like, this might be a controversial take, but I feel like maybe niggas should have just went in. You know? You know? Go in, pick up a book, let the power of knowledge wash the sin off you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, y'all don't like that at all. Okay. Well, it gets worse. Okay, I feel like... Like, everybody acts like they can't resist listening to R. Kelly because he's so talented. First of all, I feel like R. Kelly is not that talented compared to Prince, D'Angelo, all these other people. No, he's not talented at all. Second of all, I don't think you have to be that talented to fuck kids. Okay, because how do all our uncles have that reputation? They got Grammys we don't know about? How is that possible? I'm just saying, bro, half the teachers at my school are getting fired right now for touching students. I broke up with a girl in high school, and my English teacher got fired for sexting the same girl. And I was like, first of all, bro, I thought we were cool. And second of all, that dude was not that good of a teacher. We thought it was hilarious because he wore pineapple shirts sometimes. That's not a good teacher. I'm just saying, I feel like we're giving ourselves too much credit, acting like we only let people fuck kids when they're talented. Okay, you know what? I should have stopped earlier, huh? You're right. Sometimes you get the light and you just gotta go. Hey, y'all ever feel like Donald Trump's dick is regular size and he's just like that? Okay, I gotta go. Bye, I'm Yudoya Travis, thank you.
No, nigga, you don't just get to drop all that R. Kelly material then leave. So, you coming back out. Here's the thing, y'all. I hate to be that classic black dude with excuses. But the Lucas Brothers, one of our close friends, Kevin Barnett, died a year ago today. And they were really, really tight with him. So emotionally, they just weren't able to make it tonight. Here's the thing. I ain't killing it, but I'm okay enough that if you feel like, yo, I paid just to see them and you want a refund, just email me and I'll make sure y'all are accommodated. All right. So if you need my email address, it's clarkljones@gmail.com. And just.
No, I'm accommodating. All you got to do is email. And then shit, I get that shit to you. You know, if you black, I'll Cash App. If you white, I'll Venmo. If you Mexican, I'll PayPal for some reason.
But they actually they couldn't make it tonight, man. I'm so sorry. They just their heart couldn't do it. So they're dealing with that. But what we do have is one more segment, and we're gonna have Yadoye come back out. Yadoye, come talk to us and explain these controversial takes. Our other guest is a rising, like, I don't even know what to say rising, because she's fucking killing it. She's dominating. She is a regular at the Comedy Cellar in the Village. You've seen her on Comedy Central, and she just taped her special with Wanda Sykes on Epics, and she's just one of my favorite people, also from the DMV. Please start clapping for Paris Sashay!
Hey, hey, hey.
We got some diverse. We got some different opinions.
Oh, yeah. Do we?
Y'all ain't sitting next to each other. That's fine.
Oh, no. It was no reason.
Look, I made the first move. That's on her.
Yeah.
It's on me. I'm sorry.
We didn't talk about a lot of current events in the first episode tonight. Mm-hmm. But before we even get to that, I want to get y'all's backstory. Like, Paris, you're a woman. Mm-hmm. And comedy started in a rough city, D.C.
Yes.
D.C.'s, that's where you started, right?
Yeah.
How did you decide, like, yo, I'm a woman, I got some shit to say, and I'm funny. How did you even get into it?
I went to college for 2 years, and then I dropped out, and I was like, okay, I have to figure out another plan, because I'm not going back. And then my friends, I was always the class clown. I always got put out of class, always got put out of school. I got put out of high school. I got put into an alternative school. And then my friends was like, you just need to do comedy. And I was like, no, I'm not talking in front of people. And they signed me up for open mics for a whole week. I skipped three of them. And then the third one, they told my mother, so she took me. And then I hid in the bathroom when I got there. And then she told the host, and they came in the bathroom like, well, we not starting the show until you come out. I was
damn.
Like,
damn. They really like, oh, wanted you to
yeah,
tell
they wanted me to do a bad.
Destiny.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, well, then we not having a show. So I stayed in the bathroom for 15 minutes. They prayed. It got real deep.
What?
Yeah, they started praying. I was like, okay,
anywhere.
Jesus. Yeah,
Lord,
in the bathroom.
Lord, please touch her so she can come up here and make us laugh.
Right, while it's people sitting outside waiting for a show. After 15 minutes, I came out. And then I went up, and it was crazy because somebody was on stage bombing. Mm. And they was like, you next. And I was like, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen because this not how it's supposed to be the first time.
Right.
So I had to go up after he bombed, and I did good. I was supposed to do 5 minutes, then I did 13. And then I was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Do you feel like now some, I'm not sure how long you've been in it, but now what is it like to go up after somebody bombs?
Now, after somebody bomb, I just talk shit. I talk shit then, too. But now, I feel like that's on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, here's the thing. Because you work all types of crowds. You do A. You obviously perform in front of white folks. Like, I think we can tell by the pants that this nigga don't just do Queens. He don't perform at Mocha's in Harlem.
We look the same right now, bro.
I know. We look like before and after, but like 2 weeks, right?
We look like the same nigga in different stages of life.
What's the difference, white audience and black audience going up?
I feel like white audiences are way too polite, I think. I feel like the energy white audiences put out is like you want them to be loud and they won't, and then it's hard to say this without out sounding like an asshole. But like, if you go to a black audience, sometimes it's like you want them to, but you want them at the energy they're at, mm-hmm. but a little bit less.
It's weird, like with, because I started on the south side of Chicago in lounges where they would keep The Game on or keep like Eddie Murphy Raw on while you're telling jokes. And I'm just like, why would they watch me when they have What I Want to Be right there? And they already know the material and all of that. Like at a black show, the show starts right after you're introduced. Right? So like they say your name and it's the clock starts right there. So the first thing you say gotta be the most hilarious thing that you could have said. I feel like white audiences, you know, they give you ha 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 on that first one.
They believe you're going somewhere.
Okay, right. It's patient.
Yeah, white people do believe in you. Yeah. Black people like, nigga, hurry up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's even patience. I think it's like white people are scared to not be part of art. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like you ever been at a museum and you look at some shit and it's like the painting don't make sense. A white person will be like, "Huh,
I can see it."
Whereas a black person will be like, "What the fuck is this? Go back to art school. What the fuck did you do?"
I ain't taken aback by this.
I could have did this shit.
Right. You know? Now, one of the I guess stereotypes maybe. And I think, Paris, you could speak on this a little bit. I don't want to assume, but, like, there's this assumption or stereotype that black audiences don't like gay material or they don't like lesbian material, queer material. There's a pushback against it. Do you talk about that at all, performing in D.C. and blacker cities?
Yeah, I don't think it's that they don't like gay material. I think you just have to find a way for them to understand. I don't think they understand it.
Okay.
So I think when I explain it to them, then they're like, oh, I never looked at it like that.
And you're able to translate what you're trying to say? Like, have you even stepped into that?
Yeah, I recently started talking about it like sometime last year. I didn't want to talk about it at first, not because of anything besides I didn't want to get labeled as a gay comic. And then they still did the shit anyway. Because like at first it was like, okay, black comedian. Now it was like, black gay comedian. It's like, all right, so what happens if I wake up one day and I don't want to do this no more?
You can't un-black yourself.
I can't un-black myself, but I can un-gay myself.
But you don't want to do that.
I don't know what I want to do. Listen.
Man, listen.
I don't control
straight
the
niggas ain't shit, man. Stay
straight
where you at,
ain't
bro.
Shit. I won't
don't come to the
do.
Side. You don't want this?
I don't want that. I went through that. Straight niggas are not shit, and my skin has been clearer since I've left them alone. But
amen.
Saying,
hallelujah.
What I'm saying.
Hallelujah.
Is if I change that, then they have to take away that title off of my name. So, I mean, I just think black people have a hard time accepting people being gay. That's the whole thing. I don't know what the problem is, but I don't think that a lot of comics oftentimes explain it to them. It's just like they force the gay on them. I don't force gay on them. I explain my gay, and I also let them know I don't understand the whole gay thing either. I'm just one person. There's a whole lot of shit I don't understand. I don't do research on gay. I'm not concerned. I'm black first, honestly. I don't really care about all of the different levels of gay. That's not my thing.
Yeah, it's weird. I think like what I've seen is that black audiences don't really take to I'm a victim. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen gay comics kill in front of black crowds if they come out aggressive and like, this is my problem. Fuck that. I'll beat the shit out of homophobia. But like, I'm gay. Please feel sorry for me. We're like, nigga, I got problems too. You know what I mean? So it's hard for them to take to someone as an audience, especially if they pay money. It's like, I'm going through shit and I pay money. I don't give a fuck what you're going through. Right? It's hard to get that kind of, I went to college. I can't think of the word. What's the word when you feel sorry for somebody?
Empathy.
Fuck yeah. Thank y'all. I went to college. I went to grad school.
I don't think that I look for them to accept me. I just tell you my experience with it. I'm not looking for acceptance in being gay.
Now, another issue that you could probably, I'm sure you could speak on your day is like, let's talk about this divide between Africans and African-Americans, right? Like, you're from Nigeria. Well, yeah, we're going there. We're going there. We're going there. You're from Nigeria. You were born there, or your family's?
I was born in Atlanta, but my mom's from Nigeria, from Port Harcourt. And I was just in Ghana a few weeks ago.
Everybody was in Ghana a few weeks ago.
Everybody was in Ghana.
Like, nigga, did they build a mega boat? Like, how the fuck? Is it a dollar to go to Accra or whatever now?
They got a Groupon there.
That shit is expensive.
Groupon? What the fuck? The Greyhound is a boat now?
Nah, black folks got more money than you think. I just found out too. I had no idea.
Is it difficult to, when you know, going up in front of a mostly African-American audience for them to, or just even off stage? Like, how's that integration been?
It's weird because I think I've come to terms with it more recently than I did when I was younger, because I didn't really realize what the divide was. Because my dad is from Florida, so like, growing up, I thought I had both sides of it. In equal
Florida
parts.
And Atlanta, that's pretty African-American.
Yeah. And so I just, knowing what my background was, I assumed I had both. I kind of took for granted that I had both sides equally. But I grew up with my mom just eating fufu and all this shit every day. And so, like, it wasn't until recently where I realized, like, I didn't really get the whole African-American experience. I was inside watching TV all the time. And, like, I got the blackness that they put on TV. And then whatever my mom provided and what my dad gave me on weekends. But it's just a whole different, it's a different experience. And I realize, like, in a lot of ways, Africans are black white people.
Because just not knowing, like.
Well, in the sense that they grew up surrounded by people that are just like them, and they're not like. And so you're not really equipped to deal with being othered once you get to a place like this. And so I didn't really get the experience from my mom of being othered. And so I think in a lot of ways I wasn't prepared for when I came out to when I was in high school or college and going from all black schools to being surrounded by white folks, which is why I talk about it all the time and have a podcast about racism, because I think about it.
Oh, shameless plug. Listen.
I didn't say the name. There's a little bit of shame.
Dark Tank. I want to ask you about, like, how is that? Because I'm learning, too.
Yeah.
Like, we were taught that Africans think that they're better than you. That's what I was taught.
Yeah.
And it wasn't by other Africans. Fuck you. I'm Nigerian down the line. As soon as I can afford that 1, 2, or 3. Come on, I got the gap. But were you taught that Africans were better?
I wasn't taught that, but in a lot of ways, I saw it in my mom's behavior. Mm. Like, I grew up outside of Atlanta because my mom was scared to live in Atlanta. Because I think she had a lot of the same prejudices.
Like Decatur?
Like, we just went to Afropunk, which was in the West End in Atlanta. And she was walking around with her friend just like, you remember back in the 90s when we were scared to come here? And
It's
totally different now. But, like, just hearing that perspective is stuff that she didn't really talk to me about. Mm. She just kind of lived where she lived and kept it moving. She didn't really, it wasn't really a discussion. And I never really thought about it because she did have kids with an American. So I was like, I assumed it was all gravy.
Right.
Yeah.
Paris, you from D.C. original, D.C. proper, right?
Yes.
Like what, Southeast, Minnesota?
No, Northwest. No,
Northwest?
Not Southeast. We better.
I just said some shit that I heard on the Wale song.
Yeah. Wale's not even from Southeast.
I know, he's from like fucking PG County.
Maryland.
Damn.
Yeah,
they take that shit serious.
Yeah, they take it. It's pretty deep. It's not necessary, but yeah.
Being there, being in the nation's capital, I don't hear you as a strong political comedian, but I've seen you touch on it. Like, does growing up in D.C. make you just hyper politically aware?
No, I just start talking shit to white people once Trump won.
Deserved. 53%.
Yeah, I just started making them mad, and then I start having fun with it. And I was like, oh, I can go this route.
Are you openly behind a candidate?
No, I'm not.
Mm.
Not
Why
right
not?
Now. I'm not.
Is that out of a career choice or?
Oh no, really, it's not out of career choice. I don't think.
Because motherfuckers get mad. I'm like,
no,
we all
I don't think that it could. I don't think it can affect my career. I was behind Obama, and then I was behind Bernie.
Okay.
But then, I mean, I kind of lost hope, to be honest. So.
So when they decide on who gonna be the person, that's when you'll say, I fuck with you.
I'm still thinking about it right now. I got to keep smoking this weed. I'm going to let the weed choose. I don't know yet, to be honest. But it's just like, everybody's fucked up, and you got to just choose the best fuck up right now.
You're like at this, from an outsider looking in,
mm-hmm.
when I look at other comics, they'll say, man, Paris got it good, man. She black, she a woman, and she gay. Like, she got all three. Like, everybody giving her all the shit right now because.
False.
But that's what outsiders believe.
What do you get for being gay? Because I still ain't get my gay points yet.
But that's what people, they like, well, you know, things are different. I can't talk about what I want to talk about, and shit is fucked up. I'm a straight white male. I don't get shit. Cause I ain't straight. I wish I was straight. You're like, I got diabetes. I've heard a motherfucker say, "Man, I wish I had diabetes so I could have some shit to
people
talk about."
People are sick. That's sick to me. Honestly.
Do you ever get that pushback? Have you ever heard people say like, "You got it easy"?
I think people think I do have it easy, but nobody sees the actual grind. So I don't expect for people to fully understand. I just expect them to judge off of what they see.
What is your biggest challenge right now, as a black woman, gay in?
I think
Hollywood.
The black part is the problem because, I mean, going up in front of these white people, they still don't. I think I'm too black for white people and sometimes not black enough, depending on which black people.
Damn. That's hard, right?
No, I don't give a fuck, to be honest, because.
Don't feel sorry for me.
Yeah, no, don't feel sorry for me because white people sometimes want you to turn it down, and I turn it down. Enough to get into the door, and then I turn it back up, like surprise.
Oh,
and then
once they
like,
let you
oh,
in,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, and that's the problem. That I turn it up too fast. That's the biggest problem right now.
You do it. You like, I could talk shit to you because it's like you like we can both got on pink hoodies, man. Yeah. We really can't. I can't take a moral high ground over anything that you do. But what's your biggest difficulty? You tall? What the fuck?
Yeah.
What problems you got?
Sometimes I walk under a high doorway and I don't have to jump to touch it. It's not that fun.
Sometimes people notice you first. Stuff like that.
Sometimes I get. Asked to audition for basketball operas and I can't really play basketball like that.
You can't play ball?
I can, but like it's not my sport. I play soccer.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I was a goalkeeper. I still did tall dude shit, but.
What is your biggest problem? I don't think you answered the question.
I was building up to it. I feel like my biggest problem is like, I think I just think too much about white people, man. And I think I just let them live rent free in my head. You know what I'm saying? I like there's an extent to which like you gotta be aware. But I think I just like I got an obsession, man. This shit is like I can't stop talking shit about you.
Here's a $50 million question.
Yeah.
Since you were talking about white people living in your head, right?
Yeah.
Do you get you? Cause you date everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Right, we got some black women in here who just adjusting in their seat because they know what I'm about to ask.
Uh-huh.
Do you get pushback from black women because you date the whole spectrum?
I don't think I ever have, actually. It's been a lot of people giving me hypotheticals. Like, you know, black women don't like when you date all these people. I've never had a black woman tell me you shouldn't date people. I think it's
You know they tell you things in different ways, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
like sometimes
absolutely.
It's not verbal, sometimes it's
definitely.
A side eye,
definitely.
Sometimes they bump you.
I've had the
on the street. Like, damn,
right.
This is a whole sidewalk. Why'd you bump into me? Because you with her.
No, the only thing I've had, which the most confusing shit that's ever happened to me is I've had a black girl tell me I don't look like I date black girls. But this is like seconds after I asked her out with her friend. So I was like,
"Was her friend white?"
No.
Oh.
It was this Ghanaian girl. I was like straight up asking her on a date. And she's like, "You don't look like you date black girls." And I was like, But
that's tough, man.
What do you want? I'm sorry, I just watch anime in a very crucial point in my life. That's why I talk like this. I don't know what to tell you.
Black girls are openly getting into anime. Like, I've been on
black
Twitter.
Black girls love anime. That's the biggest lie you ever heard is black women don't like nerds. Because that shit is the most frustrating.
Any black women in here like nerds?
Ah. Okay, look.
Sorry, bro.
Okay. Ain't that many people in here to begin with? So, I'm sorry.
Any white women in here like black nerds? It's
don't,
okay.
Don't
you
say
can
shit.
Say it.
Don't say shit. Don't do this to me. No. I know y'all like anime. I know y'all watching Yu Yu Hakusho and all this shit. Or Rurouni Kenshin or whatever.
Yo, you just took it someplace.
I'm sorry.
That even I wasn't equipped with. And I feel like.
I'm sorry, bro, but I had to do it. I had to pull it out.
What school did you go to?
What college?
Yeah.
I went to Emory.
Emory in Atlanta. And where'd you go for your tenure?
Virginia Union.
Black college?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Richmond. It was real black. It was like, I could stay home. This is the same shit I experienced in the hood.
Yeah,
I'm paying for it.
It's gangs.
Like. Yeah, gangs.
It's music.
Somebody got
cookouts.
Shot at homecoming on the football field. I was like, nigga.
I could have stayed on Southeast. I could have stayed in Southeast if it was going to be busted.
I picked up a book in the house. Yeah, this. I had to leave.
Do we still have the need for black colleges?
I believe so.
As someone who went to a white college, yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Just because, like, I feel like you just need to be in that environment where you don't have to think about the shit. Just, I don't know, just give yourself a few years, have that confidence and know who you are as an individual person, and be able to go out into the world and not, even if you do deal with racism, you still know who you are as an individual. You know how to deal with the shit. You know how to come at it from a place of this is me responding to this and not this is a black man responding to this. Because I feel like I respond to a lot of racial situations as like, I'm a black man, why would you do this to me?
Mm-hmm.
Not as, I'm Yedoye Travis, do you know who the fuck I am? Like, walk around with my own confidence and my own chest out, you know what I'm saying?
Have you had an overt racist like heckler? Ever had to deal with that? What was that like? What happened?
I've had people. I did a show in Rhode Island, which is what everybody thinks Boston is.
Providence. It's the worst.
Yeah.
If you don't go to Brown, it's Alabama.
Bro. Yeah.
Rhode Island is fucked.
Bro, I went to high school in Alabama. This shit is not that bad. No, Providence, Rhode Island is the worst place I've ever done comedy. I think I started a joke about. Slavery. I had not said the word slavery yet. Somebody shouted from the corner of the room, "Get over it."
Mm.
I was like, "You don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about yet."
Yeah, you don't know my take yet.
Yeah, you have no idea what I'm about to say.
It's rough the people in states that have this identity crisis because they're not the South, but they want the South mentality.
Oh yeah,
like St. Louis. He's one of the most racist places I've ever been.
Yep.
I'm like, y'all are the fucking gateway to the West. You're not the South. Like, but they have that identity crisis, and so they overdo it.
Yeah. It's all these places that know the reputation the South has, and they think that because they're not the South, what they do is not racism.
Mm.
We have this weird complex in America. New York has it. L.A. has it. Everywhere outside of the South has this idea that, like, because they didn't have
slavery,
Jim Crow, or whatever the fuck you want to pinpoint, they say because they didn't have that we teach in school to be racism, that they are not racist. And that's the wildest shit to me.
People got to talk to their families when they go back for the holidays.
Yeah.
But it's hard when the person you're talking to pays your rent. Like, come on, New York, y'all got to start paying your own rent so y'all can tell your uncles they ain't shit. That's how I problem solve. Paris, I know a little bit of your history.
Mm-hmm.
And I only ask this because you made it public. You talked about it. You had a rough situation with toxic masculinity some mm-hmm. years ago.
Yes.
And to the extent that you're comfortable,
mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about that situation, how's that shaped your interactions with... I mean, you're on the stage right now with two dudes. You've always seemed very comfortable in your own skin. when I'm around you. Has that shifted your comfort level dealing with men?
No, I don't think all men are bad. I just think that men don't know how to take rejection, and they're so used to women not standing up for themselves that when they get rejected by a woman with confidence, it does something to their confidence, leading them to resort into a way of trying to belittle you, even if they use violence in it. So the incident didn't make me hate men. It made me stay away from toxic men. Like, I look at men and read them before having a conversation.
In this field where, like, there's so much alpha male energy, even if it's not from alpha, like people pose, but you know that they're not that. Mm-hmm. Like, speaking of some of the women in the room, what are some tips to navigate amongst dudes who don't like rejection, are very sensitive, and only want to help women that they can fuck?
I think that women should be allowed to say no. You can say no if you want to say no. I feel like if it hurts a man's feeling, he got to get over that. That's something that he has to work on in his own time. If he wasn't loved enough as a kid and his parents didn't tell him, women are going to say no. Everybody's not going to say yes to you. It doesn't matter who you are. You just have to be comfortable with being told no and walking away like a grown-ass man and dealing with it. So, I mean, I think a lot of men pose this energy as like, oh, I'm a man. I think it's bullshit. I feel comfortable in my skin around any man because I think that everybody bleeds the same. So I don't think men have this stronger blood. I think we have the same type of blood, so it doesn't do anything to me. The incident just happened at a weird time under weird circumstances. But overall, no, I don't think that all men are like that, and I think that men need to have conversations, then they don't feel comfortable having those. So I think I become friends with males, and it's in those conversations that I learn a lot about males.
Hell yeah. Okay. Can we get a round of applause for that dope? Sharon, opening up. Let me ask y'all this question before we move to the next segment. Kids, are y'all scared to have children, bring children in this world? With everything that's going on, somebody ain't even on the panel, but they have strong thoughts. What do y'all think about bringing children in the world?
I'm nervous about it, but it's weird because, like, I don't know that I'm going to have kids, but I do feel like I'd be a good dad.
I feel the same way.
Right?
I feel like I got dad energy.
Yeah.
I make sure they had drink tickets, and I make sure Paris was okay with answering the question.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, I think that's, and I read that off of you, too.
Yeah.
Do you, what's your thoughts on children?
I would be a great mom. I'm just not a fan of kids, though.
Okay. Even if they're yours?
Here's the thing. When I was 14, my brother had twin boys, and then he went to jail, so I had to help raise them. Like every weekend, not just like sometimes aunt, like damn near living with me. And then my sister followed up 2 years later and had a son as well that lived in the house with me. Okay. So before 18, I was taking care of three kids. So I feel like I already did my work. I'm a great aunt. I feel like I'm like a good great aunt level. I don't think mother level is my title.
Because that's 24 hours.
Yeah, that's too much. Yeah. That's like you can't send them back. No, I don't think. I get tired of everything. I think a kid will also, I will get tired of.
All right, I want y'all to be thinking about questions for the last segment on this. We're going to do a quick either or. So I'll throw out two things. Y'all think about y'all questions, but listen to y'all multitask. And everybody get put to work. I'll just throw out an either or. You tell me which one you go with first. I'll start with something easy. Drums or flats? Ooh.
You know what? As I got older, I think I'm a flats dude.
Same.
I'm a flats man. Yeah.
Flats. I think drums are too much work, and it's the same amount of meat.
Do y'all clean the bone? Yeah. Like, how Nigerian are you? Bro, do y'all clean it?
It depends on who I'm with.
Oh.
Yeah, so because if you get down to when you get the sauce under your fingers,
Mumbo?
I feel like you have to trust people to get sauce under your fingers, eating them around. But if I don't trust you, I can't get sauce under my fingers. I got to act like I don't want it and just think about them later.
Yeah. I feel like around certain people.
That's funny.
Like on the first date, you can't get down. You can't do that on the first date. But if y'all dating, it's like, you know what I'm about to do. But first date, you're like, I'm good. Take that back.
I feel like on a first date, my impulse is to, like, you know how, like, animals just show you, teach you shit just by doing it? I think I'm more inclined to just get aggressive on a chicken bone on a first date. Just so you know that if you don't clean the bone, I'm getting up.
Okay.
I'm walking out.
We're going to stick on food. Krispy Kreme or Chick-fil-A?
What? What?
Chick-fil-A. You can only have one. The other one got to go.
Chick-fil-A.
Yo, am I the only one who's...
They probably got some other special handcrafted donuts you can find in place of
Krispy Kreme. With the hot sign?
Chick-fil-A. With the sauce?
I've been to some janky-ass Chick-fil-A's, though. That's the thing.
Oh, so you...
All Chick-fil-A's aren't the same.
Really?
First
not.
Did you report it?
It was an airport, so I didn't want to make too much.
Oh, no, you got to make too
problems.
Much. Yes, you
do. I don't
do.
Know what kind of Chick-fil-A you went to. Last time I went to Chick-fil-A...
The Chick-fil-A in Charlotte Airport was trash.
Last time I went to a Chick-fil-A, I was sitting in the drive-thru. Girl leaned out the window and told me, God has a plan for me. That place...
Whoa!
That's right. Chick-fil-A, that's the is service you're lit, supposed bro. To get. If you don't get that service, you're supposed to contact a manager, and you get free food. It's Chick-fil-A. They're supposed to make your day better.
Martin or Fresh Prince? And included in Martin is the last season. Two. You got to consider that too. Martin or Fresh Prince?
Oh, man. See, this is tough because I watched Fresh Prince most recently, so it feels unfair.
Okay.
And I was just watching Martin at
they
the
got
hotel.
BT got an app now, so it ain't no excuse.
Well, okay, hold up. They had Fresh Prince on Netflix in Ghana, so I was binging.
Which one? Well, the other one got to go.
I'm going to go Fresh Prince.
I'm going Martin.
What's your case for Martin?
Overall. Characters, just, everything. I'm just going Martin overall.
What's your case for Fresh Prince?
Look, man, I don't have a case that's even that strong. I'm going to change mine to Martin, bro. You said characters, and I was like, shit.
All right,
you got the characters.
This is a big one. This is a big one before we open it up to the floor. Barack Obama or... Michelle Obama.
Michelle.
That's not easy.
That's so easy.
A nigga can't even be the first black president without a fucking... And y'all like, I don't know, but... I mean, how he get there?
Michelle.
I think Michelle, man, fuck bro. Political correctness.
I feel like I Barack would be a different person if he didn't have Michelle.
Oof. That's a word. Give me a counter. Give me a counter, you doye.
Look, man, Michelle ain't dropped no bombs on Yemen. I'm sorry.
That's true. No drone strikes.
I mean, to get that real, Michelle got zero drone strikes on her record.
Anybody who make it through Chicago public schools gets my fucking vote. Fucking Michelle. Y'all got questions? We got time for three. I'm a teacher energy, too. Anybody want to ask Paris or you doye anything comedy? DC? Their choices? Chick-fil-A? Any non-black people have a question? Come on, do it for the culture, man. Any non-black people, just ask any question. You can yell
just
out.
Just ask some bullshit.
This ain't church.
What? Church?
Yeah.
What do you think about February being the Black History Month? Do you think we should have a Black History Month?
Do we still need Black History Month?
I think we do. I just think we need more days. We need 32.
We need a Black History season.
Yeah, we do.
I feel like as long as the education system is going to get real, as long as the education system is the way it is, I think we absolutely need a Black History Month. But if we teach Black History year round the way it's supposed to be taught, then we would not need it at all. I think every month could be Black History Month because it's just American history. It's world history.
Okay. Look at you scoring. All right.
Yeah, I had that in my notes.
He's been thinking about that since. Hey, you know you ain't Travis. You're like,
I just
I'm gonna
been
kill
waiting
him
for a moment to break this out. I'm sorry.
This nigga got a plan. Anybody else? Questions for them? Come on, y'all. It could be anything. Just
any more layups like that? No.
What was the last argument y'all had about something? Maybe these smart people on stage can help you out with it. Go ahead. I want a white person to ask. Go ahead. Hair products?
LeBron or Jordan?
This turned to a barbershop.
Yeah, this is a barbershop.
You know what I say.
I just said I don't even...
Jordan, easily. Listen, LeBron shoots less than 80% from free throw. He's not one of the greatest. And he keep getting bodied by like guard, point guards and shit like that, man. And the hairlining, like go bald or go home.
That's the slogan.
That's my thing. Either go bald or go home. Start trying to hold on to shit that ain't there. They like, he like the worst ex ever. Like, let that shit go. Let that go. Stop wearing headbands. Stop trying to be nice on Valentine's Day. Just let it go. Jordan.
But you know.
Now my shit's coming out.
Okay.
Now my shit's coming out. Oh, let me ask y'all. Since y'all so talkative black folks in the crowd, Boomerang or Love Jones? Boomerang? Boomerang? Nobody said. I don't know. That's not an answer. Boomerang or Love Jones? Cuz. What? Don't say Love and Basketball. That movie was trash. I'm tired of niggas going to Crenshaw High. Fuck that movie. I hate Love and Basketball. That shit fucking sucks. I hate it. Can y'all make some noise right now for Paris Sachet? You doing it, Travis?
Thank
you doing it. Where can they find you?
Oh, I'm on all social media at Professor Doye. I got a podcast called Dark Tank where I make white people pitch solutions to racism. Clark was on it. His episode is hilarious. Yeah. Paris, you should do it sometime.
Yes, invite me. I'll be more than happy.
Where
you can follow me on everything at Paris Sachet.
And you got something big coming up in D.C.
Yeah, my taping next weekend.
Next weekend.
I'm recording my
album. D.C. Improv.
Yeah, D.C. Improv.
Who you got opening? Anybody?
My girlfriend is hosting.
Whoa! Okay. Black nepotism! Yeah.
For all of the black people that don't like gay people, I'm going to make them hate it twice.
If y'all hated that, y'all going to really hate this.
And just so y'all know, you can get to D.C. for like $12.
Yep. One more time for the guests that you heard tonight. Josh Johnson, Marcus Russell Price, Larry Owens, Yodoye Travis, Paris Sachet. I've been the host, Clark Jones, man. Make sure y'all comment, subscribe, like Classic Black Dude on all the podcast platforms. Y'all have fun tonight? Did y'all have fun? One more time for Union Hall and the Brooklyn Podcast Festival. We're going to hang around and talk to y'all afterwards, too, if y'all want to ask us anything personally. Thank y'all so much for coming out. Thank you.